Welcome to Everyday Driver, where cars are more than just transportation. They're freedom, a common ground, a way to grow, and can even make life better. We're here to help everyone find a car they love
and discover all the ways they connect us. I'm Paul.
I'm Todd. And this is The Car Debate. Hey, happy Friday. Thanks again for being with us here on the podcast. We do two of these a week. I don't know if you noticed, Paul, but that's a lot of us talking.
We do two a week.
Yes. Yeah, plus we drive cars. In fact, speaking of cars that we've driven, we just had on our two YouTube channels. I'm noticing a trend here. Two YouTube channels. We're not going to have two TV shows. I'm just letting you know that now. As of this moment, we don't. We may later. Who knows? The Infiniti Q50 Red Sport 400, which is a lot to say in one little sentence. Yeah. That is on the Test Drive channel. Actually, a pretty interesting discussion you and I got into on that. Mm-hmm. And also on the original channel, we just dropped an old TV episode called The Middles, which was the Volkswagen GTI, the Honda Civic, and the Veloster N. The first time we drove the Veloster N, we put it with things that were of the same price. Very interesting discussion came out of that.
Yes, on that particular Q50, I was told by the press fleet who dropped it off that Infiniti shipped them a special sport exhaust in addition to the car, and they installed it for the round where it went to all the journalists. And then they removed it. After the journalists were done with it, it went back to the shop. They removed it, sent the exhaust back to Infiniti, and the car was onwards to
cubed.
Used cars. It was cubed. I know. By the way, speaking of cubed, Season 8, Episode 3 is this Saturday, January 16th at 7:30 a.m. Eastern. It is entitled Golf Cars.
Yes. Yes.
And I admit that I am not a golfer, neither of you.
This is true, yeah.
But I did grow up playing golf with my dad because he was a golfer at Kansas University,
okay.
KU, and was on the golf team growing up, high school, college, totally into golf, and he still watches golf a lot. And he and I would always have a putting contest.
Okay, yeah.
So we had a lot of fun doing putting contests through my high school days, and then, of course, I grew taller, and my clubs didn't work anymore, and I whipped them into the lake, and I got frustrated. But he loves golf, and so these are the 2020 Corvette Stingray convertible and the 2020 Lexus LC500 convertible. And the reason I say cubed is because it's our understanding that that LC500 was a pre-production car.
Probably cubed by this point.
And yes. I was told that that was the case because they cannot sell those cars. So that car doesn't exist anymore. But we sure enjoyed it for that episode.
My son is baffled on that reality. He cannot make it compute.
It's a legal reality.
Yeah, he keeps asking if we can just keep the cars, they're going to cube.
But I love his
thinking. I really do. Like this one you're going to destroy anyway. Can I just keep it in my garage?
I mean, crash testing, it's a big issue. I mean, if any of us saw all the crash testing that occurs of the destruction of parts, but they have to certify various cars.
And
that's the most expensive part of the car. It's that A-pillar where the HVAC and the crash zones come together, and then they have to crash and throw it away.
Well, that's the reason, honestly, this is going way high end for a second, but that's the reason that for the longest time you couldn't get a Koenigsegg here. Because Koenigsegg was not willing to make enough cars to go through U.S. crash testing.
That's expensive.
To throw them out, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing that. Catch that on the Motor Trend Cable channel this Saturday. By the way, all of our Season 8 episodes will repeat. Mm-hmm. So they will air the first time, then they'll repeat the second time. So if you didn't catch it the first time around, and they'll be coming soon to streaming on Amazon Prime as well.
Yes, while they're repeating, they will drop on Amazon. The minute that they're on Amazon, there'll be much, you know, behind the scenes. Those slugging sounds you hear are me versus Amazon. Once that actually happens, then it'll be on Amazon, and it'll be great. Yeah,
I would like to give a big shout out to Mattis Tarkarski in Norway, who wrote to us after listening to the last podcast. He was driving at 3 a.m., driving a 40-ton semi, 50 kilometers an hour, downhill on ice in Norway near Jorli. I believe that's Jorli?
I don't know.
He says, you guys are 100% right about truck overtaking and speed limits, but he also has a note to all EV drivers, because as you guys know, there's probably more EVs in Norway than there are per capita than there are anywhere else.
Well,
on the planet.
They are like way ahead of all of the ideas that everybody's having, like California, like we're going to stop selling EVs. Norway's way ahead on all that.
Way ahead. He says, please note, do not drive just behind the semi, saving your batteries. Air quotes, saving your batteries. Don't draft the trucks. And he says a full semi stops like a train, so there's a long distance. But he says an empty one can stop in seconds. So please know that, and thank you guys for writing in.
Yeah.
And Matt, thank you so much for writing us.
I'm going to say Tusen takk to you. Thousand thanks, because that's about all the Norwegian I actually remember in my 1 year of living there.
That's right.
But you are besieged with EVs over there. I mean, they have done all of they did massive tax breaks for buying EVs. They've limited how much internal combustion engines you can even sell now. There's a lot of stuff going on. They're way ahead of everybody. So, yeah, I can imagine you in EVs. How do you feel, Matthias, about electric semis? If you have to drive them at 3 in the morning on ice, what's your feeling on, let me get an electric semi? I'd be curious about that. I'm also curious if you're driving a Volvo, because I feel like those big Volvo semis were all I saw when I was in Norway.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme is probably on your roof while you're driving around.
There's
doing
a terrifying
something.
Prospect. He's frozen there. Now. He is the hood ornament. That's right. He's doing the splits. He's the frozen hood ornament on the front.
What are you doing up here, buddy? What are you thinking?
There's an image we all wanted. Every winter, we find ourselves tracking snow, salt, and grime into our cars. Thankfully, Covercraft has a variety of floor mats to keep you winterproof.
Covercraft floor mats and cargo mats are custom fitted to your exact car, and they include the original equipment security grommets if applicable. They're the perfect and durable way to protect your car's carpet and add style and comfort to your interior.
Plus, you can choose from many color and material options to complement or contrast the interior colors of your car or truck. Covercraft is sure to have what you need. They offer plush carpet, Berber carpet, even sheepskin, which is warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Whatever mats you choose, remember to use the code EVERYDAY21 at checkout to receive a 10% discount and free shipping from covercraft.com. We've got a couple of great car debates. First, from David B. in rural Minnesota. He's got a new reality that he wants some suggestions for a different car. We also have Greg L. in Southeast Michigan, who wants to move beyond Mopar. So we're going to help with that suggestion.
Awesome.
With that. Let's dive in, first of all, here to this email from David B. He's up in Minnesota. He's about 75 miles from the Twin Cities.
Okay.
So he's kind of out in the country now. He says, last year has changed his car needs dramatically.
With many of us, yeah, for sure.
He and his wife have been incredibly lucky. Despite everything that's happened in the world, they bought their dream home and moved from the suburbs of Minneapolis out into the country.
Cool.
He'll be working from home for the foreseeable future. And they've got a beater pickup, a year 2000 Dodge Dakota 4x4.
Okay.
This is the truck things around the house.
And it's
going to be endless.
He says that it's beat on. I mean, it's rusty and old. And,
yes.
And you know what? That makes it perfect. That means it's just the utility thing. Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be hauling all kinds of things you never imagined.
I got a truck. I can haul that.
Hey.
Yeah, well, honey, we'll just put that in the truck. I mean, this goes on. Yeah, for sure.
When they lived in the city, he leased a 2018 Volkswagen GTI S manual as the do-it-all car. But now that he's not commuting to work and they've got this truck, his car doesn't need to be the utility player. His lease is up soon. He finds himself craving a new experience. At the same time, he's well under the mileage limit that he already paid for. He's at 20,000 of the 30,000 he's paid for already.
Wow, all right.
And he feels like maybe he should keep it.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Oh, sorry, that was too early. I apologize.
The act of writing the email to us indicates you've already moved past
You're done. It's all over, yeah.
He wants a new experience, and he says every car he's owned has been a four-cylinder.
Okay, let's solve that.
I agree.
I really like that.
He wants an inline six or a V8.
Okay.
I'm adding flat six to the mix too, just in case you...
Uh-oh. All right.
Rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. Manual is preferred but not required. It's got to be fun to drive, but comfortable. He'll never track it, and the wife needs to be comfy, he says.
Okay.
Got a $15,000 budget, which is the buyout price of his leased GTI. And he says, well, why not more? It's because they just bought a house.
Yeah, they just built a house. Yeah, it's all bad, yeah.
Although you could, you know, get a new car and a dog and a horse. And like, if you're going to do it,
you're going to change stuff. Let's change it all.
I say change it all.
Yeah.
There is also no age requirement.
That's good.
Okay. He's not relying on this car for a commute. So keep that in mind. No passenger or door requirements. Two-seater's fine. Okay. So is a four-door sedan. And despite what he said about his new experiences, the B8 flavor S4 manual Audi calls to him. Seems to be the logical successor to his prior generation A4. Perhaps not doable, he says, but I'm sure Paul will blow the budget anyway.
You've listened to the podcast.
I'm going to do my best.
Bravo. Well done.
He'll use this car for fun weekend drives with the wife and going into the Twin Cities a few times a month. He says, again, it's about 75 miles one way, and they don't have a ton of fun roads around them, so comfortable cruising is important.
Okay. All right.
Now, some options that have come to his mind, and he says, I'm not sure all these will work for the budget. 2011 or newer Mustang GT, an M235i BMW, that B8 S4 that he mentioned, and a Nissan 350 or 370Z.
All right.
Then he gets to the car history, which includes a Ford lengthy. Festiva. I haven't said that word for like 30 years.
It's just a weird combo. I agree. And there's also 1, 2, 3, 4 Volkswagen-related products on this list.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get another GTI or let alone another Audi. I think we need to leave the Volkswagen group completely.
Completely? Do we have to leave them completely?
Oh, I know where you're going. Okay, yeah, all right.
Well, I had a lot of thoughts for you, and I do see based on your car history list, David, that you do like German cars, and mm-hmm. I get it. I'm right there with you. I have some choices for you, and then I had a weird wild card, and then I had a crazier wild card for you.
I have a couple wild. This is a wild card heavy podcast. I've got a lot of wild cards in this list for sure. Yeah.
Good, good. Because again, that age requirement is mm-hmm. thrown out the window.
Totally. I agree.
I mean, you could take the Dakota into town if you needed to, but mainly I get it. It's the out to pasture kind of truck.
Totally. Yeah.
Take it to the,
yeah.
You know, the feed store. Come back home.
Take it to the feed store. We don't know what we're feeding, but we're going to the feed store.
I need something.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever browse chain? Like, just go look at all the different links and like, look at all this chain. I have no need for chain, but look at all this cool, like rope.
All the never rope. Browsed chain. However, I have browsed
rope.
Random cord for climbing. Like, I don't even need that length but or that thickness. But you know what? That's a really cool.
Totally,
I like that.
That could be like shoelaces, and that one could be like a rope for something, and I just need rope, and you just buy some.
I have a large amount of climbing gear, but yeah, the problem is that since I've bought it all, it's all become like one-third as heavy as the stuff I have. So whenever I go into like an REI, I'm like, these are so light. I want to buy a bunch of these. I don't need any of them. I want to buy a bunch of these just so I have lighter stuff.
Don't climbing ropes time out, though, after a number of years? Just
they
due
can
to
time
age?
They certainly can also time out due to usage.
Usage
now, my
too,
ropes
sure.
are actually pretty new.
Are they really?
My ropes have been bought in the last couple of years, but not that I've used them much, but they've been bought in the last couple of years. Still. But your hard gear can last kind of forever.
It's like buying in anticipation of the event. We needed a canoe. Whether or not we go canoeing.
We live nowhere near water, but we needed a canoe.
Look at these oars. How beautiful are these oars that I got?
I have a rack for the canoe. I bought a RAV4 and a beanie and a canoe.
Yes.
Too bad I live in the middle of Kansas and there is no water anywhere around me. Yes.
All right, so my choices do start off with a Porsche 996, even a base model
Carrera
or Cabriolet. Right. The tech needs to be dealt with in that car, of course.
Okay, all right.
And possibly the wheels. But how about a 986 Boxster for like 10, 15 grand? You'll get a really nice one for 15.
Totally. That's on my wild card list. Get the newest, nicest one you can. A wild card Boxster or Boxster S, I think, is a really viable option. Keep going.
I think that could be interesting. And like I said, at 15, you can get a pretty decent one. If you need something newer, because older cars make you skeezed out and you're just not sure.
You're just not sure, yeah.
How about a 2018 Mercedes-Benz CLA 250? They are now in the low 20s.
Okay. All right.
Newer tech, great looking, stylish, classy, comfortable, smaller. They're not the biggest thing ever, but good for road trips, good for going into town, all that kind of stuff. They're really, I think they're good looking. They're aging well, and they're kind of getting inexpensive.
Mm.
That's just a thought. And that keeps you in the German car land. There's many options, of course, but that keeps you in the German car world. But then I went American.
Okay.
Actually, Australian.
Whoa.
04 to 06 Pontiac GTO. Very good, even with higher mileage. Manuals are about 11 to 15. Mm-hmm. Automatics can be had for 8 to 12.
That's 100% on my
GTO.
List as well. On my list as well.
Power.
That's a great answer here.
Put the miles
big
on.
Big old V8.
Yeah, they'll cruise at 135, not that you need to, but I'm
but
just
you
saying,
yeah.
You know, just in case you were wondering. Then my weird wild card is an early 80s Mercedes-Benz 380 SL.
Hmm.
The reason is because you said you wanted cruising and stylish and comfortable, and that was pretty much the peak of style then and luxury, and they still feel that way. I found you a 1985 Mercedes-Benz 380 SL. This is the last year that they built them. It's got low miles, so it's got 104,000 miles. But from that year, those cars feel so solid and well-engineered.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to run. You get a well-kept one like this one. It's superb condition. It's like that buttercream with the wine interior, so it's all classy. And it was lifelong owned by a lady
sure,
who ran a Las Vegas casino.
There you go. Perfect.
That's the car you want.
That's the car you want. There it is.
$15,000, $15,750 at Sports Car LA. You go there, road trip home. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Classy, cruising. They're interesting. it feeds into the, yeah, I've got a classier, classic mm-hmm. kind of looking car. You've told us you don't need to rely on this one, which makes me suspect that your wife has another car that you haven't told us about.
Maybe, yeah.
I think there's something in there. I'm wondering if it's SUV related or just something small and compact. I think there's still yet another car in this mix. I don't know that the Dakota is the only thing you have, which is why I suggest this classy Mercedes. And before they skyrocket in value, there's a lot of them at $15,000 and under, which gives you that, hey, back in the day, the 80s, and you can upgrade the tech easily and get Bluetooth and nav, and not that you need it. You've got your phone.
Yeah.
And just classy, cruising, cool.
Okay.
They're low maintenance. They usually just run. And it's got that V8 SL. It's just, there's a certain cachet to these things that is appealing because they're inexpensive.
Okay. You've got some good stuff, and actually it aligns with some of my stuff as well.
Okay. I've got one more here.
Oh, yeah. Please keep going.
It's the crazier one.
Oh.
It's also Mercedes.
Okay, great.
But it's the 2001 Mercedes SLK 320 six-speed manual for $11,750.
You found your car, but nicer.
I did. But it's the prior generation. It's the first generation of the SLK, which I actually liked better.
The real boxy shape?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a real boxy shape, hardtop convertible, low miles. It's black with tan interior. Classy, just cruiser, hardtop convertible. Have you also looked at BMW Z4s? Have you looked at these, by the way? Because, you know, those are out there, too.
They are out there, too.
It's like the better versions of the two cheap sports cars that Todd and I currently own. It's go look for the better versions of that, because we paid $7,000 and under for ours, so they're a bit janky.
They are.
But what if you doubled that money up to $14,000, $15,000
and got a nice car,
pristine version of those cars? Yeah. You'd be set.
That's good. That's really good.
That's my crazy.
Good group. I've got some actual stuff that's like adjacent to all your thoughts. It's what's interesting. We didn't pick the same stuff. We had a little bit of overlap, but there's a lot of stuff that is very similar. So, Dave, I want to jump back to your list of things you're considering real quick. The 2011 and up Mustang GT, I think the best thing about that is the engine. I don't think it's enough of a nice cruiser car. Now, if you have Mustang interest and your wife likes Mustangs, I'd feel differently. But I think it's just, I think the engine is what you're wanting. Rear wheel drive V8, I see it. I don't think it's enough of just a big cruiser feel.
You think he'd get tired of it too quickly?
I think he might.
Okay.
So I have a different V8 American car for you in a minute, actually a couple. The BMW M235i, I like that for you a lot.
Yeah.
Rear wheel drive, straight six, that's a new experience. I think you'd thoroughly enjoy that car. Do not get another Audi. You've had enough Audi-related experience. The 350 or 370Z, look, these are fun cars to drive. I would not want to road trip in either one.
I agree with that.
They're not cruiser road trip cars. They're not nice enough inside.
They're more towards the sporty driving category.
The 370, in spite of the fact that every time I've ever driven one, I'm always like, these are just fun. Why do we not talk about them enough?
Yeah.
Because they're loud inside. They're loud inside. And look, I realize that the cars that I've owned have been even more extreme this direction. But when you tell me, not really a bunch of back road work, I would like to have a fun cruiser car. I don't think the Z cars.
Agreed.
So those are out as well. So again, I like your M235i idea. I completely agree and had on my list what you said, Paul, the Pontiac GTO from the early 2000s.
That's almost a no-brainer.
That's great.
Yeah.
2+2, big. It's a Corvette V8 under there.
Yeah.
Enjoy that car. Have fun. That's great. The other, the muscle car equivalent I have for you, though, instead of the Mustang, is get an early Dodge Challenger.
You mean this generation, but earlier on?
Yeah, the early ones when it was what, 07, 08, 09, 20, I even found 2010, 2011.
Not like a late 60s you're talking.
No. I mean the modern one.
Okay.
But let's be honest, the car's been around forever. I found some fairly recent ones actually for your budget, like 2014, 2015. Okay, those cars have not held on to value very well. The interior has improved by leaps and bounds from the early ones to the current ones.
True.
So figure out where does your budget converge with an interior you can tolerate, but
those are 15-20 grand now.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, not like the heaviest duty one ever.
Sure,
but
sure.
You can get yourself a V8 if you go back far enough. You can get yourself a V8. So think about that. Think about getting a Challenger, because the thing about it is that is a cruiser muscle car
for sure.
Definitely. No matter what engine you get, it's just got that attitude. It's got a lot of space inside. That's a big cruiser muscle car. I like that. Also, shop Corvettes.
At that price level, you could get a lot of
a C5 or C6 Corvette. You're not going to get a Z06 of both of those, but a C5 or C6 Corvette, just get a Corvette and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they're,
yeah.
They are excellent performance cars, but even the base model Corvette, what it shines at is just cruising road trip feel.
It's got that torquey power. Yeah. You need to do some passing, whatever.
Yes.
It's just
so
good at that.
The thing is, if you spec a Corvette right, it becomes a back road or track monster. But a mundane, not well spec'd one will be a great road trip car.
Yeah.
So it's your pick of Corvettes, kind of, Dave. I feel like that. My wild cards included the Boxster S that you already brought up. And then here is one where I got close to what you said, but not the same.
Okay.
Here's a wild card that I have found you a car. Great cruiser that I think you will not believe you can buy one for your budget, and nobody, when they see you in it, will believe what you bought it for.
I always like these stories. Always like them.
Mid-2000s Mercedes SL.
Oh, yeah.
Those are down there.
Are they really?
Yes, they are. I'm going to show you one real quick, Paul. I know the audience can't see it, but just here's an example.
Oh,
this is
yes.
one, honestly, when they had
2004,
these slightly overlapping circle headlights on the on the nose. Okay, there others that had more boxy headlights, but I'm talking about the slightly circle headlights on the nose. I'm looking at an SL.
How much is that thing?
SL 500, 2004 SL 500 Roadster for $12,000.
You're kidding me. How many miles on that thing?
SL 500, 115 on this one. But I've got a page of them here. I'm showing Paul the scroll. I've got a page of them on Auto Tempest that goes on and on. So shop mid-2000s Mercedes SL. Pick your spec. Those cars look, they still look like they're a $60,000 or up $1,000
Totally.
Car.
I love those kind of stories.
They really look expensive. They aren't expensive. And since this car isn't a, it has to work every single day of my life. Well, guess what? There's going to be maintenance costs. There will be.
Sure.
There'll be days when it does something weird and oddball, but every time it runs or you go anywhere, people are going to be like, what happened? What kind of money did you trip and fall into? And well, they're cheap.
Now when your friends come over to see your new house, they'll bring you a housewarming gift and be like, wow, new house, new car. You got a Mercedes?
How are you affording that Mercedes?
And then you come out with your new puppy.
How are you affording a $100,000 Mercedes? You're going, because it was 15?
Exactly. Then when you tell them that story, then imagine the conversation over the dinner party that you're going to have and all the housewarming. Everybody's going to be like, did you hear what Dave and his wife did? Blah, 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 blah.
For sure. For sure.
I just want you to have a car where you can say, yeah, this was owned by a lady who owned a Vegas casino, and see where the conversation
Paul's tried to give the car story traction. But either way, lots of great options here. I hope you find something great. Let us know, Dave, for sure.
Our friends at Griot's Garage have got a new line of ceramic products to make your car care easier and more satisfying than ever. Start with the new ceramic wash and coat, an ultra-slick formula that can be used with either the bucket wash method, which I like, or a foaming sprayer, which I also like, or a cannon, which I also like.
We actually take Griot's Speed Shine with us on every single shoot. It's the ultimate for quick detailing, and it now has ceramic protection as well. Ceramic Speed Shine maintains a slippery gloss finish in between your main washing and protection days. And they even have ceramic trim wipes for long-lasting protection on plastic trim.
Try any of these products or use them as your new wash routine. They are 100% guaranteed, and all their liquid products are made in the USA. Don't forget to use the code EDRIVER when you order at griotsgarage.com. Our audience gets 15% off liquids and 10% off everything else. That's G-R-I-O-T-S. Enjoy the finest quality car care products you can buy at griotsgarage.com. Greg L. writes to us from Southeast Michigan. He wants to move past Mopar.
Okay.
He's shopping for the next car. His last two have been a Charger RT and a Challenger RT.
All right.
He has enjoyed the V8 rear-wheel drive experience. They have reignited his car enthusiasm, but he's looking for a new experience as well.
Okay.
He drives the Dodges all year with Blizzax. So year-round, think about it, Southeast Michigan, year-round on Blizzax.
Well, no, year-round and then Blizzax in the winter. Is how I read that.
Well, yes, but Blizzax to do the year round, to enable the year round.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So he's got his full sets of tires, and it's working out for him. I love the idea of. I love any time I see a big rear wheel drive anything in the middle of the winter.
Plus winter.
Yeah, I just think that's great because everybody's going, how are you doing? Watch that guy. He's going to wreck. Not on good tires, he's not.
Right, and then he zips past you. Well, he doesn't want to do any track driving, but he does want to be compelled to turn around and look at his car every time he gets out of it.
Okay.
This is a thing.
That's
I know
key.
It's a thing. I embrace this thing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We love that.
He also wants to smile every time he drives it.
I like it.
Now, it needs to be big enough for he and his wife to take on road trips with a week's luggage. So that means not just your general overnight bag. It means maybe two or three and jackets and a few extra things.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's doable. They recently took the Challenger to the Great Smoky Mountains for a hiking trip, so they had food and luggage and hiking gear. And the back seat was handy, of course, but the car then felt huge on Tail of the Dragon. Get it?
Yes, it would. This is the thing about the Challenger and the Charger and all the big Hemi things. They're phenomenal in a straight line. They are shockingly capable in corners, but they always feel huge.
And then when you do go around a corner, all your hiking food spills, like Nutri-Grain everywhere. Yeah. Darn it.
Exactly. You got to go back and pick up the boots that flew out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a rear biased, all-wheel drive preferred, but he will consider another rear-wheel drive. The target is $30,000.
Okay.
He will push up to $45,000 if it buys him a more special experience. Mm-hmm. He's skeptical that that extra $15,000 will really put a bigger smile on his face.
Don't
I
agree.
See that.
But okay.
All right, Greg. He's got this current shopping list, which is actually very excellent. It's very well thought through.
It's really, really cool.
You've got
yeah.
some excellent suggestions. And honestly, you could be done with some of these suggestions because it includes the BMW M240 xDrive. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I love that you've got the Alfa Giulia TI Sport. He's afraid of the Quadrifoglio reliability, but I wouldn't be concerned. I'd get it anyway.
I would get it anyway.
But I don't know that they're $45,000 at this point.
Yeah, you can.
Are they?
If he jumped at 45, you'd get a Quadrifoglio, and you would love a Quadrifoglio.
I think you'd dig it. Yeah.
But that would be your, do I want to put 15 extra in? That for
I
sure.
I think the smile would be worth it, though.
I
on that one.
Honestly, if I had this money and was considering anything in that category, I would buy a Quadrifoglio in a heartbeat and be a very happy man. I love those things. They're so great.
He suggests a Cadillac, a manual Cadillac coupe, the ATS-V coupe.
That's cool.
He does like the idea of driving a domestic car if it checks all the boxes.
Okay.
But then, since this is the Mercedes podcast already.
Apparently, yeah.
His brother is a very talented dealer technician for Mercedes. This makes Mercedes maintenance, he says, far less intimidating. Is there another Benz he should be considering besides a C43 AMG coupe? He's wondering if it will be nimble or will it just be the cruiser that he thinks it is.
I think it's going to be kind of in the category of your Mopars. I think it will be very fast and really surprising on a back road. I think it will feel big, but not as big as your Mopars have.
I agree to that. They are actually more nimble than you're led to believe.
Yes.
He's got the Camaro SS on the list, but he thinks he wants to pause from American Muscle.
Okay.
And he also has the go-to Jaguar F-Type Coupe. He says this is stunning. He's concerned about reliability here. The sunroof does not open. They do make that in a convertible, but I understand you're in Southeast Michigan. BMW M340 or the BMW 440i Coupe or Grand Coupe. He's got the 440 convertible on here.
That's a lot of BMWs. Okay.
That doesn't make it compelling because of the hardtop convertible, so that makes it truly a 12-month car. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing, but he's not sure how it handles. Also, I think it will be more delightful than you think. The turn-in will be sharp initially, but kind of fade away as you go through the turn. But I think it will still be enjoyable.
Those BMWs are surprisingly big now.
They are.
Yeah, they really are, yeah.
And finally, he's considered a Tesla Model 3, but he says, I've got years ahead of me to drive an electric car. This might be my last chance to own a BMW with an inline six.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
His current garage caught my eye because he bought a Buick Regal Tour X.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, you own one. I only saw one other person in California in the Starbucks line who had one. They were ahead of me, and I went, that's a Buick Regal Tour X. And I'm honking, and the guy's like,
what?
Stop it.
What?
What are you? He's got the 2018 Challenger RT and an 08 Mercedes E-Class 4MATIC, mostly for the kids to drive. He's got a 20-year-old college student. I love that you buy Mercedes, like, slough those off for the college kids. Like, we'll just... Whatever.
Yeah, you can have the Mercedes. That's exactly. Fine.
So he's had a Ford Contour SE V6 manual, which is a sleeper. He used to flog it on any two-lane road with a turn, and this is the best handling car he's ever owned.
Now, two thoughts. First off, you can do far better than that car.
Indeed.
However, I remember that car. That car did handle better than you would ever expect.
Yeah, it did.
So I will absolutely back your play that it was a much better handling car than anybody would anticipate. However, you can also do better.
That SVT Contour was kind of like, wow, I'm going to move on.
Yeah, well, but they were still cool, though.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was
I totally hear
this
you.
This is cool. What other cars are there available?
I really liked how that drove. What's next?
What's next? Yes. Exactly. So he's asking, Greg is asking, what he's missing, what he's overlooking. And the things that I've come up with are divergent.
Okay. I have one thing for Greg.
You sniped it.
I sniper shot at it like crazy. Really? I like sniper shot at it from the hip. I didn't even have to like really aim. I was like, and we're done.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Interesting. Based on your car history, which includes a 2014 Regal Turbo, a 2010 Fusion V6, a Pontiac Grand Prix, a Ford Focus, a Volvo V70, a Mazda 929.
Those were cool.
Those were kind of cool.
Mazda's attempt to do like a big 7 Series competitor. Of you listening, honestly, you're going to send us photos and that's fine. When is the last time you saw a Mazda 929?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like somehow the 626s have kind of survived in some markets, but the 929s?
That is a rare beast.
I honestly don't remember the last time I saw it. It's been a long time.
I agree. The first two choices I have for you are the ones that I think you should buy, that you would enjoy.
Okay.
A bit different. I think it will fit your needs. And that is the Genesis G70 and the Kia Stinger GT2 all-wheel drive. Fully loaded and slightly used will be perfect.
Absolutely. Both excellent cars. Good choices.
Lots of power, mm-hmm. fun to drive, mm-hmm. usable 12-month cars. They're not convertibles. And I hear you on the BMW. I hear you on the 440. I do. I like the idea of a hardtop convertible for you. And that just the fact that you're considering it puts you in a different category to be able to mm-hmm. deal with it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're willing to go that far, I'm going to push you further.
Big surprise.
Because all of these cars are now about $40,000 to $45,000.
Okay, yeah.
Which I do think would put the smile on your face. The exhaust note certainly will.
Okay.
And you will, I guarantee you. You'll park it, walk away, chirp, chirp, and look back. Guarantee you.
Okay.
It is the 2011 Aston Martin V8 Vantage for $40,989.
Ooh.
Found one with 62,000 miles. It's got the 6-speed auto, but all of the cars, all the Vantage V8s in this class, mm-hmm. in this age range mm-hmm. from late aughts to early into the teens, they're all like $40,000 or $45,000.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And they're great cars.
Automatic, manual, fine, mm-hmm. 12 months. If you're willing to drive the Challenger in the winter, if you're willing to consider a hardtop BMW, nobody drives an Aston around you. Are you up for my challenge, Greg?
That's good. That's good stuff. I have one comment from his email that speared me straight off to a sniper shot and I was done.
Really?
Yep. I have to go back to one thing we didn't mention that as soon as I read it, then I read the rest of the email, I went, wait a minute, wait. Did you not notice your own comment here, Greg? So back in the middle of his email, Greg makes the following kind of toss-away sentence.
Okay.
Because he says, I have a demanding professional job. I want great connectivity. I want my phone in the car. I need Apple CarPlay. My dream car is a Porsche 911. I subscribed to the VW and Porsche magazine since I was 12.
And now he has a 20-year-old college student.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have up to $45,000 that you're willing to only spend that much if it's a special car. I refer you back to, here's the asterisk, my dream car is a 911.
Why are you not getting your dream car?
Nowhere in your list is a Porsche 911. You want a car that you enjoy driving, that you'll look back at, that you and your wife can take road trips in. I think if you've always wanted a 911, the chances of you looking forward when you walk over in that car are almost nil. You're going to just walk into the store with your head turned back like, that's still my car. It's right over there. Have you seen it? Be careful in traffic, by the way. But that's all you're going to do is look. Here's the reason I bring it up. We did 50 years of the 911. We drove them all up to that point, all the way up to the 991. We've driven the 992 since. But the point is, spoiler alert, one of my very favorites you can get. That is the 997 generation. Now, for those of you that don't speak Porsche, this means 05 to 2012. This is one of my favorite generations of the 911. With $45,000, my friend Greg, you have choices of 997s.
Can he get the all-wheel drive? Can he get a C4S?
You're going to have to. Here's the thing. Take that budget and see what you can do. Because cabriolets are actually also cheaper than coupes.
It's weird, but they are. Yeah.
And they're cabriolets. So they actually have a really well-lined top, and they're surprisingly warm and usable in all weather. You like the convertible option, but you're leaning toward hardtop convertibles because it's Michigan. But I think a Cabriolet 911 would do fine. I believe you can find 4Ss, but it's going to be that do a nationwide search.
Agreed.
But here's the thing that's happening is that what you're going to find is the early ones, the 05s to 09s because that was with the IMS scare.
Right, right.
Those are the ones that are as cheap as you need, but you buy it and you fix the IMS. Or in many cases, you're going to be able to buy one where somebody already did, but they can't unload it because the IMS scare is such a thing in people's minds. Go get yourself, Greg. Just embrace the car you've told us since you were 12. You've always wanted a 911. Go get a 911. Honestly, I'm giving you permission.
A plus B.
Seriously.
Equals C.
Great road trip car. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. Now let me come back around to Apple CarPlay. I'm in the process of putting in an Apple CarPlay system in my wife's 2010 Porsche Cayenne. Chance, who drives a 996, even older than we're talking about, already put one in his. We're talking on the high side, $500 to do that.
Tech is swappable.
So
yeah.
I think this is why it's my sniper shot for you. I read that sentence and then I read the rest of the email and I just went, why are you not buying a 911? Here's your time. That is, I'm straight sniper shot, 997, 911. Take your $45,000, get the nicest, best spec'd one you can, and now you can have the car you've wanted since you were 12.
Beautiful. No arguments from me. I had gotten to that sentence, and I hadn't gotten to the 997s yet, because I was looking at all the 996s, thinking, yeah.
And there's tons.
But
there's tons of 996s, and they're good.
I wish I have a 997, and I hadn't gotten to the 997s yet. I'm glad that... If you can do 45 and all-wheel drive and winter tires, and then you'll be that guy.
I found...
Just put skis on, even if you don't ski. Just put skis on.
I found pages of them with a capper of 40 grand.
Especially if you get the cabriolet, because they're...
Yes.
Again, they're not as expensive.
It's crazy.
Really.
But I think that's where you're shopping, man.
When your car needs new brakes, it's a great time to upgrade for better stopping power. We're excited to partner with PowerStop Brakes for an easy way to get more performance from something you already need.
PowerStop is on a mission to deliver better brakes on every vehicle in every situation, from daily commuting to towing to track days. These are all bolt-on, direct-fit parts for better braking, no modifications required.
Every PowerStop complete brake kit comes with all the parts you need to upgrade your brakes, including pads, rotors, and even those little clips and fasteners. Plus, all their pads are made from a carbon fiber ceramic compound, which they've tested extensively to deliver low dust and noise-free performance.
So the next time you need brakes or you simply want to upgrade, visit PowerStop.com and enter your vehicle's information into their easy-to-use car finder. We even found great kits for our SUVs and our cheap sports cars. Give your everyday driver the easy and affordable performance upgrade it deserves at PowerStop.com.
We posted a picture of the Dodge Durango RT all-wheel drive tow and go.
Can we stop on the name for a second? Are you unpacking the name?
Well, Keith wants to know the reasoning behind the name.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the Dodge Durango has been around for a while in its current iteration. We, interestingly, have never driven one up until now. Good news, the Hellcat flavor is coming towards us. But for now, we drove this RT, which is not an SRT, but it still has a V8. So it's the top end of everything before you get to SRT.
Yes.
And go nuts. Mm-hmm. It has 360 horsepower, 390 pound-feet of torque. We did a test drive, and that video is coming.
Well, it's quite quick, and it does drift. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you. Yes.
Both of these things are truths.
It does. Truths about the,
yes.
The tow and go.
Quick facts.
But the tow and go moniker is more about the go than the tow.
Here's the thing. They're playing off their old stow-and-go concept. They're playing off of that.
Indeed.
And then they're trying to play off the fact that this is quite quick, but it will still tow stuff.
Exactly. It tows, but it goes, is the whole idea. And by going, it includes Bilstein adaptive dampers. It's got giant brakes on it. It's got a big, powerful V8. It actually is pretty impressive.
Yes.
It doesn't drive like you should think a 6 or 7 seater should drive.
Well, and remember in the 90s when everybody decided they needed to make a high-performance pickup, like the late 90s, early 2000s, and all the high-performance pickups came out, like the Lightning and stuff like that?
Oh, my gosh,
the key element of all of those was none of them towed. They all had really no towing capability. They were go-fast trucks, but we're not pulling our boat.
Right.
This is tow and go. I don't have stow and go. I have tow and go.
It's because still performance suspension, performance-directed handling, which it is better than the normal Durangos, but you can still tow stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of both. It's it's definitely more on the, hey, have you seen how fast this thing is? And boy, does it sound good. And yeah, it's still toes. It's not just like, not the high hair.
Oh, they just made the SS, the thing.
SSR.
That was, yes, thank you. That was just a hard top convertible. Essentially, sports car interior in a pickup body that was slammed. It was talk about a car stuck in the middle. Yeah.
I was like number 22 on the list of bad ideas of all time. Like,
it's
I don't
up
know
there.
What the first 21 were. Yeah.
But it's on there. It's not the top 10. You're right. But it was on there for sure. Jeff Hober asked an interesting question. Hey, Jeff, how are you? We actually drove your 944 now that I think about it. Thanks for writing it again.
Sure.
If you haven't seen Jeff's 944 with an LS in the front, that is a very cool piece on the original YouTube channel. He's asking about our golf cars episode coming up. He said he really likes the premise, but he's asking, why aren't SUVs in consideration for golf bags? And he's bringing up two actual examples of the problem. His in-laws used to have a Lexus Egg. Now, Lexus was the first to do the current five-seat SUV craze. They didn't know that they were creating a craze, but they did. They created this thing we have always joked about being the Lexus Egg because the first generation looked quite a bit like an egg on its side put on wheels.
Yeah, and then they paint it white.
Yes, so there's that. So he said that would fit four golf bags and four people, but the Audi Q5 struggles with two bags. Jeff, target audience. Yeah. I feel very certain that when Lexus was first designing their RX version of their SUV, somebody at Lexus, they'd done so much market research. Lexus killed it. Toyota killed it when they first came out with Lexus, and they just hit what they were going for. And I'm certain, because they knew that a lot of people that buy luxury vehicles are the retired, I'm certain that somebody in the process pulled up a bunch of golf bags and said, let's see how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Audi Q5 was far less concerned about that. I feel fairly confident that the Audi Q5, they weren't concerned about where the golf bags go. Notice that when we're actually doing this golf cars piece, we have an American car and a Japanese car. We don't have a German car that is like putting out up front, this carries golf bags. The Germans had a revolution to put cup holders in their cars.
I think they're still a little bit annoyed and shocked
by how we use our vehicles, yes.
It depends on the day.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
They're like, okay, we've got something to sell you then. I think that'll work. Roberto A. is asking, what is the ultimate vision of the everyday driver business case, and how are our donations helping you get there and beyond? And what he's referring to is our patrons. And our patrons donate, and you can go to patreon.com and find three tiers. Mm-hmm. The upper level is what we call board members, and we have a monthly Zoom hangout call. So you can influence directly the show and hear from us mm-hmm. and be a part of the community there. And you also have access to our Discord page where the conversation continues. And there's a lot of all the topics that we have touched on the podcast, but they continue there and meet other fans of the show there. But ultimately, those patron donations are helping us with future productions. So not mm-hmm. only mm-hmm. films, but also TV episodes. But also, I will say, from a driving homework standpoint, where it stops is like extra credit. You're on your own. When we give you driving homework and we assign that, we say, go drive this, this, and this, come back to us and send us your car conclusion. The thoughts are further. They're along those lines to equip you guys more with driving homework. That's kind of where our headspace mm-hmm. is, in addition to continuing to produce the content and grow the brand, because it's a community that we've built up of, you know, like-minded people that are enthusiasts. We want everybody we know to love a car that they drive in every mm-hmm. aspect, whether it's entertain, inform, and what's the balance between the two, but future driving homework. What can that look like? So we're looking at that, but of course it's hard to, since nothing has manifested itself yet, it's tough to say, well, this is what we're going to do. Well, we don't know if that's going to work out yet. We're pursuing various things, but know that our headspace and both Todd and I think long-term thoughts mm-hmm. for the show. It's not a, you know, today and tomorrow kind of thing. We're always thinking way down the road.
Well, and we also, you have to keep in mind, if you just look at what we've done in the last 5 or 6 years we've done this podcast, this show is growing and changing as we watch what's working, what isn't, where do we think we can actually step into. I mean, there's certain things we clearly don't do, but we now have 2 YouTube channels as a result of just watching what's going on.
Yeah, diversification.
And so I like the fact that with the Test Drive channel, we can drive anything and everything. And so we can create, if you will, a back catalog of, you want to look at a review of that random car. We have one. It's right here. Go.
Right.
But then that allows us on the other channel, and specifically the TV show, to branch out and to think bigger and to go to, let's go to a new location. Let's do something we couldn't even do 2 years ago. Let's go do that because that has a home that's different than the other stuff. Of course, we also have the podcast and other stuff. I mean, what we have enjoyed honestly, with the support of patrons, has been diversification.
Yeah.
There are absolutely many people, many of whom we are fans of and friends with, that are very successful on YouTube.
Right, right.
But they just do YouTube.
Right, exactly.
We are glad to contribute to YouTube. We will continue to contribute to YouTube. We've never been a great match for YouTube. We've been around there longer than most, mm-hmm. okay? We never got a great groundswell behind us, but okay, we keep feeding that while we also have this podcast and the TV show and the movies and the trips. I mean, we like the diversification, and you would be surprised, I think, the average person would be surprised how much not only those patron donations have given us a sense of security, but also those patrons themselves have helped us to bounce ideas off and just go, have you guys thought about this? Or, oh, you guys are thinking that? I like that, or I don't, or whatever. That's actually interesting to have that kind of inner circle to work with. Has definitely helped a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And that definitely is heard and seen by all of our friends at the OEMs. Mm-hmm. And you would be shocked at how much content the marketing and communications teams at various car companies consume of everybody's mm-hmm. car content, because mm-hmm. they want to know, if we give you a car, what are you going to go do with it?
Yeah.
Increasingly, we're responsible for producing that content and telling you about the car, but we also think it helps you from a buying decision. And that's where the show started. It was always, I'm very protective of you guys. I know we both feel the same way. Mm-hmm. But I always think, like, I'm protective of you, our audience.
I
don't want to just introduce, you know, products and services that aren't going to benefit you. It's not about us. It's about the everyday driver community and you guys listening and watching. It's the audience that makes the show. It's you that write us your emails
and
make the podcast.
Absolutely.
We have always been about you guys from the very beginning, when people said, would you go to a dealer and help me figure out what car I want to buy next?
You guys
seem to know something about cars. Would you help me? And that was the genesis of the show. And as Todd said, diversification throughout. So there's all these different areas of mm-hmm. business and entertainment, all this kind of stuff throughout which the Everyday Driver brand is proliferated to think differently.
Peter Renslow asked a great question. He said that he just saw the last TV episode. This was episode 2 of season 8. It was called Compact Thinking, and it was about the BMW 228 I Grand Coupe, which is very different than the other BMW 2 series that they make. They're not anything close to the same. Anyway, we had that with a Jetta and also with the new Corolla. And he talked about the fact that some of our in-cabin stuff seemed darker than normal. And he was asking, was that a creative choice? I'll tell you what it is, Peter. Honestly, that was, and it happens every season. We have some shoot that just feels plagued. Just if it can go wrong, it goes wrong on that shoot. Now, I guess the good news is once you get past that shoot every season, you're just kind of like, whew, okay, we're right, good now. Right. But that was the shoot. And among many other things that happened, we have in-car lights that we use because the light level in the car is always significantly lower than the light out the windows.
Right.
Every single light we had just kept dying. We had
it was a battery issue.
We had so many battery issues. Battery issues we have never had before or since, just all plagued us on that shoot.
Yeah.
So there are sections of our in-car interview there where we just don't have enough light on it because the lights literally died.
Crabtree Nate is asking an interior design question for me. Why do companies keep cramming fake leather textured plastic at us?
We didn't like piano black. How about this?
What other material or texture could replace this cliche, and who do they think it's fooling? Well, they know it's not fooling anybody necessarily, but I first want you to approach the interior of a car from a business perspective.
Okay.
First, let's approach safety.
Yeah.
When a car gets in an accident, the reason all the wood that you see is the thinnest of veneers is because you can't have a thick piece of trim that would splinter and spear a human being. That's a no-go.
2x4s flying through the cabin.
You'd think, well, Bentley and Rolls-Royce get away with it. They're still veneers. They're very thin veneers. They're also engineered in a way to hopefully break in a certain way and not just be a plank of wood that's going to shatter and fill you full of shards. Same thing with plastics and other materials. They have to think about first, how's this material going to do in an accident before we can go forward? Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a lot of dishonest materials made to look like other materials because they're going to just bend and softly fold instead of shattering into a million pieces. Mm-hmm. Carbon fiber is awesome. When it shatters, it's not as awesome.
It's less awesome. Also, I think we make jokes about this often because we just laugh that this is our reality, but I don't think the average person touches the interior materials of a car very often. You touch the normal places. You touch the steering wheel, you touch the door pulls, and you touch the center console.
Right.
And the seat.
Right.
But when was the last time most of you listening actually ran your hand down the dash materials of your car. Probably rarely.
People are doing it more because they're watching us feel things.
You and I do it all the time because we do that auto journalist thing where you just kind of come in and you act like you're blind for a minute. You touch every surface on the planet to just learn the car with your fingers. You know?
Like babies. They put everything in their mouth so they can relate to it.
Yeah, I guess.
We touch everywhere in a car so you can relate to it.
So we touch all the places where no one would ever know. Like, we just recently released a piece on Test Drive about a week ago where we had the brand new Lexus IS300.
Yes.
Some of the materials on that dash are actually leather. The rest, to his point, look like leather and are not. And we know this because it was like hand. Oh, that surface changed. Hand. That's how it worked.
But your eye tells you it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at all the leather thing on the dash. That's not leather.
This is why. I will say, Nate, that two companies killing it in their interiors right now are Kia, pursuing more textiles. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's like burlap anywhere now, but there's some interesting new textures.
Check the box for burlap. Only at Kia. That's not happening.
Have you tried old onion bags yet? No, we haven't tried those yet. We'll try those. And also Mercedes.
Used foil. Now available in our new, I don't know.
This foil is kind of oily from baking. Well, it's part of the interior design. I will say, yeah, Kia, because of the textures molded into the plastics, and then they're dishonestly coated with material to make it look nice. Mm-hmm. And it's working, combined with other textures that do actually look nice. Mm. It's not the typical stuff. And Mercedes-Benz, with their new veneers and their materials everywhere.
Mercedes stuff looks great right now.
So not only
you pay for it, but it looks great. Yeah,
you do. So not only is it the material itself, but it's the breakup. It's that design and how that material interacts and where else it's used around the cabin. The cheap way out is what you're saying. People have used that for years, and they've now embedded their software that will actually produce the automotive stitching on that it will be molded.
Mm-hmm. It's molded plastic that looks like it was stitched together. Yeah.
There are screens with radio buttons to control the jitter. That is how weird and unnatural the stitching is, so it looks like it's done by hand. And then that's molded into the plastic, into the foam. There's software that does that.
Of course there is.
We're getting past that. Look to the new materials, like I said, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, two opposite ends of the financial spectrum, but they both bring a very significant new style to interiors.
J.R. Schultz says on Instagram, there are many $25,000 or less Alfa Romeo Giulias now available. Do we think he should buy one and enjoy the driving experience and hope for the best? Or is the reliability a reason to walk away? He loved them since they came out. Honestly, man, I say go get one.
Yeah.
We've driven it in every single spec I can think of. We, at least, I know some other places had issues. We have never had an issue with one of those cars. But I will say this to you. Now we're 3 or 4 years down from when they came out. And yes, I know that Car and Driver and others had a press car that was beyond delinquent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what you're not hearing anymore is the general zeitgeist concern about, have you heard all of the, here's the standard problem list on those cars.
Right.
That doesn't exist that I've heard.
Yeah.
Not kind of a general knowledge kind of thing. Every car has stuff. I don't think there's any reason to avoid a $25,000 Alfa Giulia if you want one. Buy it, have it a couple years, enjoy it. I think you will love that car in any spec.
I love it. Alpha Dragon 77 would like to see a segment called Drawing with Paul on YouTube. The sort of you've seen the other design stuff that I've done. He said sometimes it would be cars, maybe other times chairs or lamps. Some sort of mood board may be required. You just want me to be Bob Ross with happy little trees.
Can we get you a Bob Ross wig?
I should wear a Bob Ross wig.
That would be the thing right there. That should be what we do for April Fool's Day. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll play Doc Brown. You need to be Bob Ross.
I'll be Bob Ross. Awesome. Yeah. I'll draw you some happy little trees. I love it. I'm just wondering about the viewership. You're interested, which thank you very much. I'm just wondering, would other people be interested as well?
Sadly, stick to cars. It would be low.
I think it would be
it
low.
It would still be a really cool piece.
I love
all of your fixing pieces.
Well, thank you.
They're awesome. And I learn something every time. I wish those would just explode because I really like those pieces. But I also want to say this. My friend Paul, after years of discussion, decided to do these fixing pieces.
Yeah.
And shortly after you dropped your first one, every designer with any kind of clout on the planet decided to start doing drawings on YouTube.
Do you think it's related?
I don't think it's...
Because it was Chip Foose and Frank Stevenson.
I don't think it's completely separate.
You don't?
I don't think they're completely separate realities. I'm not saying that the reason they did it is because you did it, but I think the fact that you were out there was kind of like, oh, see? Who's that guy? Which, by the way, talented and you're surprised he's also an automotive journalist, but I think there's a factor there for sure.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, Gary the Cycling Nerd said, what should Chrysler do? They make two vehicles, precisely two. They have a reputation for unreliability. Do they? Is it really unreliable? And seemingly no brand identity. Do they build an SUV and move upmarket like Mazda, rebrand or re-logo, or can it?
Do we think that Chrysler will survive the invasion of the Stellantians?
The Stellantarians are
coming.
I'm not
sure that they will.
They're doing, yeah.
It's a difficult one.
It is.
They sell two vehicles.
Yeah.
And those vehicles are overlapped elsewhere in the market by stuff that the Stellantarians also make. This is a tough argument. It's a really tough argument.
Well, especially with all the brands that they now have with the combined companies. So PSA and FCA, a lot of A's, are now one company with 15 brands. I think Lancia will go away. That needs to go away. Unless they bring a Stratus back, like a $60,000 Stratus that competes against the Supra and the Corvette or something. That could be interesting.
Yes. Well, something right along the lines of an Alpha 4C that kind of, put the Stratus against the Boxster and Cayman. That's where it should go.
Yeah.
Lancia
Stratus.
Not going to happen. But anyway, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Give me some gold here. Gary, I do think Chrysler should be tabled. I don't know that continuing to proliferate the brand, because they don't have halo cars that other areas of the company can't do.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Maybe they're just focused on minivans. Maybe they need to drop the 300. It's kind of had its run. It's kind of had its day. But Dodge is going to do something. I feel like Dodge is just waiting. And they're going to keep doing the stuff that they're doing right now for a few years longer. And the entire portfolio will go kapow with it's all electric, or it's all hybrid, or it's all 800,000 horsepower engines, or something like that. And then it's just boom throughout, because they've got Ram as a brand, Dodge. They've still, Maserati's going to stick around, which is great. They've got all the PSA brands. But Chrysler over here is just, maybe that is just the minivan brand. But if we're doing new Stellantis, they have an opportunity to introduce a new brand. And maybe it is just minivans, but there's a whole bunch of small SUVs from Peugeot coming over.
Yeah.
They're electrified. I don't know that they need it. This is a high-level business discussion. This will take many meetings in, you know, luxury hotels somewhere on the planet.
Yes, there will be much discussion and many things being written off on the expense report. You know, honestly, I'm going to say this. If Oldsmobile didn't survive, Chrysler doesn't need to.
I appreciate the heritage from Walter P. Chrysler. I just don't know that it's the brand that needs to take Stellantarianism into the future.
Stellantarianism. Buy your shirts and robes now. We are now accepting people into our new religion. Stellantarianism. That is simultaneously awesome and terrible. Jay McGallan P, he's saying, anyway, fans can get Tire Rack as a sponsor of this show. We would love to have Tire Rack, because we've mentioned them many, many times. We actually like them as a service. We like what they do. And it is a great place for all of you to get geeky with us about tires, or maybe just geeky with me about tires. Honestly, if you guys would like to start a letter writing campaign, an emailing campaign to let them know about us, they're aware of us. We've just never been able to align properly on a way to get together on something we would still like to, because honestly, I would rather, just a side note, I would rather have a tire supplier than a tire company. Because we like the fact that lots of different tire makers make really good tires for very different purposes. We love that.
And not everybody can afford the high-end tires for this car. And what are the sort of one notch down or two notches down equivalent of the high-end tire that will still give you 90% of the performance? What are those tires for your car? That's what we want to talk about.
And I'm such a geek. I am such a geek that the fact that all-season tires and now all-weather tires are both creating tires that can be better when it's dry but still have the peak snowflake thing on them, so they're actually good in the snow. Yeah. Do not believe that your average all season is good in the snow. But if it's actually snow rated with a little snowflake peak thing, they are. And that's starting to happen, which actually creates a world of all-in-one tires. I will still buy Specialized, but there's a lot of people out there that were going to buy an all-in-one tire, and they now legitimately are starting to exist. See? Tire geek.
Tires. I love it. David Elfering asks about the Corolla Apex. Is this cool or lipstick on a pig? Well, you heard of the Texas Edition anything, right, mm-hmm. David? I mean, is that cool or is it just like... they sell more because Texas.
Hey, as long as they don't put a rear spoiler on the back of this Corolla and say that's the reason it now has an S, they will keep me in the fold at Toyota.
They kind of did.
Yeah.
They're only building 6,000 of them, so Apexes.
So somebody's going to buy one special. In the hopes that in 20 years it can roll across Barrett Jackson and make them money.
Corolla
Please
Apex.
Stop. Please yeah. stop.
I would prefer they just GR the Corolla already
yes.
and bring
yes.
it over. Stop mm-hmm. apexing, GR instead. Mm-hmm. EverydayDriverTV@gmail.com is where you can reach us or on the website. And that's also a good place if you're wondering where that second test drive channel is. Mm-hmm. An easy way is to just start with EverydayDriver.com. Second tab over is YouTube. And then you've got the choice of which two YouTube channels to go to as well. We've got more from our Cheap Sports Car Challenge coming, mm-hmm. more test drives. And we're starting to think about season 9 as we wrap up season 8. Nutty.
That's crazy.
Thank you, guys. Cheers, everyone.